Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
So, it's not always important that we say exactly when we're recording
versus
when you're listening to this, because it's, you know, it's within the week or whatever, and you can kind of figure it out pretty quickly.
Wait, is this you slapping my wrist for, like, me pointing that out every time? Is this a company meeting?
Sometimes, yeah. Oh. I will say it drives me a little crazy, and, you know, I have to stab a small Chris pillow in my night.
You have a Chris pillow?
It's not, it's just a pillow. We named it Chris to stab.
Did you, like, draw a beard on it?
We're not that angry.
Okay, fair enough. You didn't need to pick, didn't even visualize it that much.
No, it's a thing. We mention it when it's relevant to the conversation. Yeah. Today, it is very relevant to the conversation.
Incredibly.
This is Wednesday,
January 29th, 2014.
And honestly, that's because the past 3 days, 3 to 4 days, have been the craziest bunch of kerfuffling.
Yeah, like
in WWE.
I try my best to avoid the phrase emotional roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
But this is kind of an emotional roller coaster. Like some, well, most of it, you know, is pretty low. Very few peaks, but
yeah, and it's a lot of crazy stuff happening, and kind of with no end in sight. And so, honestly, by the time you're listening to this, very different things could have been happened than what
right. we know. Or nothing, but
or
yeah.
nothing, yeah. Like, but likely, we might be at the end now, but we don't know. And so, but let's start at the beginning.
Yes.
We'll try to start at the beginning. We'll try to go in order here.
Okay, so. All
right. The Royal Rumble
yeah.
begins.
Yes.
All right, so just a quick rundown of the Rumble. Pre-show is
New Age Outlaws versus Kodas. New Age Outlaws gets the surprise win, and they are the new tag team champions.
And it's worth mentioning that they then defend successfully, quote-unquote successfully, their championship.
The following night.
So, New Age Outlaws are the champions now. Like,
yes.
That wasn't kind of like a one-night shot kind of thing.
Yeah.
Anything like
almost like when Miz won the Intercontinental Championship at, like, the kickoff show at Mania and then lost the next day.
Right.
Yeah. Fair enough.
No, but this is, like, they're the champions, and you know, I don't know. They might be champions till Elimination Chamber or longer.
You know? Possibly, yeah.
So
they might keep them around for Mania or so on.
Yeah.
I'm assuming they're not going to be full roster, full-time guys. But then again, we didn't think Goldust would be, you know,
full roster, full-time guy.
Right. Which, you know, we still don't know if he is. He's only been around since the fall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but, you know, kind of a surprise.
Yeah.
Then we have Bray Wyatt defeating Daniel Bryan.
Yep. Really did the whole, kind of took those same elements that we liked about the Del Rio and Ziggler match from Payback, where they kind of played up
the concussion idea
and, you know, attacked the head. And basically that's how Bray was able to get the win.
Exactly.
Really good match. I enjoyed it. Like,
no, I mean, yeah, great match.
Yeah.
Two guys, talented, blah, 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 everything you would expect about this match.
Right, yeah, like, really, no surprise, and that's not a bad thing, it's just, you know, it met the expectations, the high expectations that we had for the match.
Yeah, so. Then we go to Brock Lesnar, Big Show, kind of a short, awkward match.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, I honestly don't have a problem with that, because it did what it was supposed to do, which is just to make Brock Lesnar look like a beast again.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and they didn't really need to do that.
Well,
but, you know, I understand, you know, wanting to use Brock around this time.
I feel like you get the casual fans who, you know, they know he's supposed to be, but they haven't really seen him be.
Because,
they kind of only watch around this time. Which, you know, if you only watch WrestleMania seasons, all you've seen is Brock lose to Triple H, you know?
Yeah, fair enough.
So, yeah, you want to see Brock Lesnar look like a beast. He took a straight knockout punch like a champ.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't really catch that while watching it live, but watching it slow motion, you realize he took a punch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, it's Big Show's knockout punch. It's like, in kayfabe, it's supposed to be, you know, the most devastating punch any human can lay on another human.
Right.
And Brock took it and didn't get knocked out and powered through and won and walked off.
Well, and then awkwardly beat Big Show with multiple chairs until the entire crowd was deathly silent. Not because they were, you know, in awe or, you know, or in shock of what's going on. They were deathly quiet because they were just bored with it. But yeah, he just kept going, and it was awkward.
We'll get to the crowd next match.
Of course, yeah.
Because next match we have the championship, Randy Orton versus John Cena.
Woo!
Which, started at the low depths we had feared and brought a drill with it.
Yeah.
It was slow.
Yes.
And it was boring.
Yes.
And it was monotonous.
Yes. And I'm really glad that I had all of you guys over to watch this so I can talk to them and kind of, distract myself from this match. Because if I had to watch this by myself, I would have been bored, literally bored to just complete tears.
Mm-hmm. And it's... I don't know. And it's just a thing where I'm like, I get, looking on the outside, it's two, top names. And I have forever been, kind of in the corner of you can get a good thing out of any two guys. And the story is theoretically there because it's this, brand new undisputed championship of both the titles. And it's just, it's not there, it's not working,
no.
It's mud in the dirt. And I had to make up an expression, because I couldn't even think of the PG-rated expression that I wanted to describe this match with.
Isn't mud just wet dirt?
Yes, this is wet dirt. This is what I want to call this match, is wet dirt. More dirt.
Okay, I mean, it doesn't really make sense, but it sounds appropriate for this. So we'll go, Randy Orton versus John Cena at Royal Rumble 2014 was wet dirt.
Yes.
Yes.
Mud in the dirt.
Mud in the dirt.
Yes, it's wet dirt and more dry dirt. So whichever type of dirt is your least favorite dirt, it was that type of dirt.
Okay. Sure thing. Sure. Usually it's Joel who's hanging his head in just shame of whatever comical thing I say. Today we've witnessed the impossible. It's turned. I am the one hanging my head in shame.
No. Think about it.
Okay.
Alright. Just, this is...
Are we going to get a physical loss?
No. Think about this match, and think about how would you describe this match? Again, keeping with the somewhat PG attire that we feel here.
Crappy, but that doesn't feel strong enough.
I know. You can't go strong, so you have to go creative. And it's kind of got to be gross and disappointing at the same time.
It was given how many times we've seen these two fight for the championship over the course of the years, it harkens back to my favorite saying of all time. It's like beating a dead horse with another dead horse.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I would word it.
But it's worse than that.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, I can't say the words that I want to say right now, but hopefully I'll be on Trash and Ring Attire soon so I can accurately describe this.
I will say, though, I did like the coordinated "You Both Suck" chant. Well done, audience.
Yeah, I don't remember if I've heard them chant that before.
No.
But I love it.
It's a very nice kind of this is how we can really express, because... Yeah. There's a lot of they're booing because he's a heel.
They're chanting for ring announcer because they're just excited that it's WrestleMania season. Or that's however Michael Cole spins it.
Yeah.
This is very specific.
Everything.
It's really hard not to acknowledge that, they just don't like either of these
right.
guys.
And it's better than a boring chant.
Yeah.
I hope the "You Both Suck" chant catches on, I feel.
Yes. Of course, applied where it deserves.
Yes, obviously, as all chants used correctly, but...
Yes.
I'm a fan.
We don't need to get too liberal with this chant, the whole "This is awesome" chant.
Mm-hmm.
Fans have been a little too liberal with that these days. Come on.
Right.
Just like the ECW chant.
Right.
You see Kofi go flying over, the top rope and land on the Wyatt's, what was it, back in... Payback, or Battleground, sorry, back in Battleground, and all of a sudden they got, like, EC dub chants.
No, I'm with you. One broken table is not an EC dub chant make.
Yes.
Like, it needs to take some stuff to be an EC
dub chant. So, basically what we're saying is, WWE Universe, please chant responsibly.
Yes. Please chant responsibly. I like it. But yeah, so the match finally ended.
Thanks to the Wyatts. And like I've said plenty of times, and I'll say it again here, I really think the Wyatts temporarily turned face just because they put an end to this god-awful match.
End of the match. Yeah. Yep. Don't even care how they did it.
Nope. Mm-mm. Again, it was like the day after WrestleMania when you had Sheamus and Randy Orton, and, you know, everyone just was completely done with this match, and they let you know, and then Big Show came out and basically put an end to it, and suddenly, heel Big Show was a face because he just ended it.
Yeah. All right, and, so then we get to the Rumble.
Yes.
A few quick highlights for the Rumble before we get to, like, the big story of the Rumble, but a few quick highlights. The new NXT guy.
Oh, Alexander Rusev.
Yes. Impressive showing.
Very much so. Like, I didn't know much out of him, but he impressed the crap out of me, yeah.
Yeah, and I'll be saying, I'm honestly surprised. I went back and checked. He didn't eliminate anybody.
Huh.
Like, I didn't even
know. Yeah, I know there was this thing where he was throwing a lot of people over the rope, but they were all, like, catching.
Right. But he just, you know, but that's not really a problem, because he looked dominant in the ring.
He didn't need to.
He looked like he could hold his own against, you know, more seasoned veterans of the ring, so.
Let's just put it this way. He has already bested Bo Dallas's outing last year.
Obviously.
Obviously, yeah.
We have a surprise JBL entrant.
Which was funny. Yeah.
Could have used a clothesline.
I really wanted a clothesline from hell. Like, I really was wanting it. I don't know why, but I was really in the mood to see it.
Yeah.
Especially when he, you know, the surprise entrant.
Right, right.
It's kind of like when Jake came back for Old School Raw and he didn't DDT anyone.
Right.
Yeah, we got the snake and all, but yeah, come on. Come on. More on Jake later.
We will say that, I want to point out that it was Dean Ambrose who fired first.
Yeah.
Dean Ambrose, shots fired. It was the first man to actually physically attack another member of the Shield.
Yeah.
So.
He tried to eliminate Roman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who, by the way, yeah, go ahead, Chris. I'll let you have this one on account of your gloatage.
I'm trying to be very modest about this.
It's impressive. Genuine, all fully sincerity, tip of the hat. It was a, you know, hat thrown over the wall, crazy guess, and you got it right.
Let it be known throughout the land that I, Chris Sanders, real name, no gimmicks, I correctly predicted that Roman Reigns would break Kane's elimination record. I said it here on the podcast last week. Mm-hmm. I said it on the round table thing on Inside Pulse. And I said it on Twitter as well. So there's three ways that you can go back and, you know,
check.
But I correctly predicted it.
Mm-hmm.
Send me all of your money and gold and chocolates and, you know,
no
younger women.
No, fair's fair.
Well, like, well, older than 18, please. Please. I'm not a perv. But younger than 30, because come on, I got standards. That sounded horrible. I'm so
sorry.
Worst. But yeah, I was really proud of that. Like, that was the one thing I could really hang my hat on, and I felt kind of bad because I was gloating after the Rumble, and I was like, I was the only one who was ecstatic at the end of the Rumble.
Yes, you are.
Everyone was crapping over everything, and I was like, hey guys, something great happened, and no one wanted to hear it.
Right. Well. I think Roman Reigns looked great.
Absolutely.
In the thing. Yeah. And clearly, when the Shield breakup feud begins, it's going to be Roman as a face and Dean as the heel.
Yeah.
It's going to be really attractive.
The crowd really got behind Roman.
Yeah, fair is fair.
At the end of the Rumble.
I'm not sure so much they got behind Roman what was happening.
Against, you know, the absence. And I don't even think that it was... The crowd was so much against Batista as they were just completely pissed that Daniel Bryan wasn't in the
match.
That was why Rey Mysterio got booed so heavily because he was number 30 and got cheered so heavily when he got eliminated.
They were just mad.
Yeah. They were just mad that Daniel Bryan was not involved in the match.
Yeah. So, okay, we do need to get to this point.
Yes.
The crowd rejected the Rumble, basically.
Oh, completely. Yeah. Especially when they hit 30. Yeah.
When they hit 30, Daniel Bryan was not in the match.
Mm.
The fact that Batista won, just...
The fact that Punk got eliminated pretty... I don't want to say easily, but, you know...
Well, kind of in a, the fact mess. That Punk was, you know, in that final handful.
Yeah.
And he was kind of, you know, that last little maybe bit. And no, he got eliminated. And they were not accepting stuff. And, like, I don't know, like, fair is fair, personal bias aside, I expected Sheamus to get a fairly big pop.
Right. Because
there was positive noise for Sheamus that I was disagreeing with, but there was positive noise for Sheamus
and
for
the entirety
of his time.
They built that up in a way where, like, you know, Punk was outnumbered. It was three members of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Punk, and they were the only ones in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were just about to, you know, get Punk out, and then that's when Sheamus, his number hit.
Yes.
So they really, you know, set it up to ensure that he got that reaction.
Right.
So.
But, you know, there's that moment where he's doing the thing where... No crowd's supposed to count! And nobody counted! They said no!
Yeah.
And it was just... I don't know. It's a very interesting thing to watch this crowd disagree with what's going on. And, like, the pieces are set and they are just going through the motions at this point. Yeah. And, you know, and that's how, you know, wrestling matches are 99% of it. There might be that 1 in 100, 1 in 1,000, where they do change the course of a, you know, an outcome mid-match because of something.
Right.
But pretty much, you know, you're going through the motions, you're putting on the show that, you know, was predetermined. Yeah. And the crowd was not having it, and you just kind of had to finish up this show that everybody was booing.
Yeah.
And
yeah, absolutely.
And honestly... Batista looks stunned.
He did. It's like he didn't know how to process the information of what the crowd was doing.
Right.
You know? It's like he didn't know if he needed to be a heel or face or play it up certain things.
I honestly think he was just, I don't know, upset.
Well, yeah. That's basically what it turned into. It went from him being confused about all that stuff and then just getting upset about it.
Yeah.
You know, and whether or not it was just him playing that up, you know,
right,
to accept that, you know, the crowd wasn't going to cheer for him.
Right. And there was talk of, you know, after the lights or after the show went dark, like there was some Batista antagonizing, yelling at the crowd.
Right.
And varying degrees of that through various reports. But, you know, that's the kind of like, I fully believe Batista was supposed to be a surprise return.
Yeah.
That got spoiled. And I very much wonder what the reaction would have changed if Batista had been a surprise return.
Oh.
At like number 28.
It was 20. I knew it was before the 27.
I thought it was 28.
I don't know.
I won't swear, but it's not 100% important. It's in the
20s. Right.
It's around that magic.
He probably would have gotten a better reaction from the crowd, especially, you know, that surprise reaction.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it would have done any differently, especially with Daniel Bryan not coming in.
Right.
Because that was the big thing.
That was the big thing.
And it just, for some reason, the crowd, when it got down to the final two, the crowd had wanted anybody but Batista. And, you know, it just so happens that it was Roman who had such a great Rumble. So that's when the crowd went and shifted towards him. But really, we should have been, you know... WWE would have liked us to have...
We were supposed to cheer for Batista. Batista came back as a face. He was supposed to get a face return. And now, if that had been his first return, like his surprise return...
He would have had a better chance of it.
He would have had a better chance. Or... If, you know, we were too upset to, you know, and just booed the non-Daniel Bryan, they could have really switched. He left as a heel, he returned as a heel.
Yeah.
I've personally, you know, never been active in the, you know, watching wrestling when Batista was a face.
Yeah, you kind of missed that. Which is probably a good thing because it was really the same thing over and over again.
Batista's always been a heel for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, gotta say, like, Batista didn't look super on top of his game in that ring.
No, and why would he be? You know, like, the guy has been gone for 4 years. Right. You know, these things happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was kind of, I was kind of expecting that. And you can't fault the guy, especially since he's been gone for...
He's been gone. I mean, there's just some ring rust that needs to get shaken off.
It happens.
Tired. And, you know, you throw him up, you compare him to The Rock, and The Rock detractors will really point out, Rock looks gassed at a 30-second point of a match, and da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. I think The Rock hides it a lot better than Batista was doing at the Rumble.
Yeah.
I think Batista just looked worn out. And, you know, and Batista's standing there 3 minutes in the same ring that Punk's breaking the 45-minute mark. And I'm like, you shouldn't be equally tired.
No. You guys. Yeah, yeah.
So, but yeah, there was full rejection of the Rumble. Because according to the crowd, Daniel Bryan was so... unequivocally, so clearly supposed to win the Rumble, and that didn't happen.
Right.
Now, here's the question I want to pose to you real quick.
Okay.
If they had put Daniel Bryan in the Rumble and he had not won, would that have been better or worse?
If he was in the Rumble and did not win?
Yes.
I probably would have been. It probably would have been better if he was at least in the match, you know? Mm-hmm. And then at least, you know, him, whatever, however he lost, it could be, you know, probably to some weird circumstance or, you know, somebody screwing over somebody or whatever.
Yeah.
Then the fans be like, okay, well, this is, you know, written, this, you know, they had something for Daniel and, he, you know, there was actual purpose to it. Him not being in the Rumble at all just feels like a big middle finger. To a lot of people.
Okay. All right.
You know? So, that's my thinking. But then again, who knows? I just think, you know, it would have been a lot easier to do damage control if he had at least been in the Rumble.
Yes. Know? Speaking of damage control.
Yes.
Opening segment of Raw the next night was very clearly written... hastily, post-Mania.
Post-Rumble.
To do said damage control.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so here's the thing that I feel. They obviously are not blind to the Daniel Bryan thing.
No, of course not. They would be completely dumb if they were.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, case in point, Stephanie set... the crowd up to do a yes chant.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
You know? So, there is that. They know it's there. Clearly, they have some sort of plan to capitalize on that.
Yes.
I would think. You know, and people are talking about there's a burial of Daniel Bryan, like it's the end of the world, and I don't think it's a full-on burial.
No,
because if it is, they would do a lot worse things for Daniel Bryan. He would have a 2-minute match in the middle of the show...
If he was on the show at all, you know, that's one thing I don't understand about people who cry, you know, the whole Daniel burial thing. If this was a real burial, he would have gotten the Zack Ryder treatment by now. He would have just be off the show. Wouldn't even be on, like, barely get on Superstars.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Because... But yet, instead what they're doing is they're closing Raw after Raw with Daniel Bryan's music hitting.
Right.
You know, with Daniel Bryan being the one victorious at the end of the night.
No, and that's why I say I don't think it's a barrier at all. Because, yeah, no. They opened and closed Raw with Daniel Bryan.
Right.
I think, and part of that is the crowds on, you know, kind of on more than one occasion, and now very much potential for future occasions, they are hijacking the show.
Yeah.
The crowds are not letting the show continue in a way that does not acknowledge Bryan.
Yeah.
And that's, you know... And that's never happened before.
No, I think...
Am I correct? Like,
no, you're correct. Like, pretty much the only, you know... I mean, well, other than, you know, just, you know, segments here and there, but pretty much the only time they don't go into some sort of Daniel Bryan-related chant is really when CM Punk is out.
Right.
You know?
And... I won't say that automatically makes Daniel Bryan the most over superstar of all time. Because, you know, theoretically, chanting his name when he's not even there, yeah. That's not ever happened before.
Yeah.
Has it? I mean, like, again, I mean, I'm not
there 100%. Was, like, WrestleMania 10, them chanting Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. You know? Right, right.
Stuff like that.
But, like, I mean, but part of it's, like, they didn't have to chant Stone Cold when he wasn't there. Because right. They went ahead and put Stone Cold out there.
Right, yeah.
And put Stone Cold in the matches people wanted to see him in. They haven't done that with Daniel Bryan.
No.
And I don't know why.
It's what I said in my Rager column this week, where I have to hold on to this cautious optimism that they have some sort of plan, you know? Because if they don't, why else are they closing out the show with them? You know, why else are they, you know, having all these big profile matches on Raw? It's just not translating into pay-per-views.
But they have never in their life held out
this long
for the big plan.
No. That's why it's a very guarded optimism. Like, that's why, that's the one thing in the back of my head that keeps, you know, shouting at me that, mm-hmm. you know, they're dragging this on way too long. You know, they haven't had a storyline drag out this long since Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler.
I mean, but I'm saying this isn't, you know, this isn't a scripted TV show, you know, on HBO where we're sitting there and be like, oh, just wait, because there'll be a 4-month payoff.
Right.
And they know they're doing that.
We don't know if there's going to be a payoff.
I mean, WWE changes all the time.
Oh, yeah.
They you know, of course they have some vague future 4-6-month plans.
Yeah.
But they have never been any sort of, like, hold firm to those things. They have been willing to change on the drop of a hat, and hats are falling right now.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And, yeah, and I think a lot of it is they know this Bryan stuff, and they are happily ending every Raw. They are happily giving him all that time. They love the noise, because they just love noise.
Right. Oh,
noise
yeah.
means things. And they get cold feet every pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it is. I think they get cold
feet
each time.
They're scared to pull the trigger.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
And I need to go ahead and jump into the Punk stuff.
Okay.
Like, I know there's other stuff with Raw to talk about, and we'll be sure and tack that on with the end.
Sure.
But I need to go ahead and kind of bring this up, because basically what's going on kind of in the background right now, rumors, and technically it's all just rumors at this point.
Right, yeah.
But it's fairly substantial rumors, is that Punk left. Punk is gone from the WWE, seemingly for good.
Yeah.
Seemingly. And, okay, and I've kind of gone over this and followed what had been going on. Look at, and here are the following options that I see at this point, in no particular order. One, it's all a work. One, it's all a complete giant work. Okay, well, one, it's just rumors and there's nothing to it.
Right.
And if that's the case, we'll forget about it and move on with our lives.
Right.
Two, it's all a work. Basically, we're kind of treading water with Punk. Last time we treaded water with Punk, we pretended that he left and everybody loved the world.
Yeah.
So we'll do that again and we'll just try to do it a different way.
Yeah, we'll try to do it in a more, like, hyper-realistic type.
Right.
Yeah.
And then kind of this, it seems that Punk is just kind of done.
Right.
He's on this, you know, there's probably some injury and there's some just burnout kind of attitude towards Punk.
And, you know, according to people who were at the Wizard World thing from this past weekend, were saying that he did mention about, like, you know, having some sort of illness, some sort of sickness that he's been, you know, doctors numerous times trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
So there is also that, if that is true, if that is to be believed.
And so Punk maybe just needs a break.
Yeah.
And if he needs a break, the guy deserves a break.
Right.
Like, you
because,
know?
You know, we were, like, last year we were expecting him to be gone much longer than what he was.
Right.
And it felt like he came back a little too soon, probably too soon for his own liking.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that has something to do with this.
Yeah.
You know, you have to take that into account, because that's really, like, when it all started. Like, we didn't really need that long build towards him and Brock at SummerSlam. We could have just had that happen after Money in the Bank or whatever.
Right.
You know, but instead he was there for an additional couple of months beforehand.
Right. But to look at the darkest timeline option,
this feels like, yeah.
Punk's gone.
Yeah.
And that's not a crazy thing, because it's, you know, it's no secret that Punk was said he was fairly close to retirement.
Right.
And he's kind of spouted 2015, which isn't it yet, but, you know,
right, but it was not just far away. But it felt, that also felt like just a arbitrary number, right, just sometime in the future.
Right.
Yeah.
Punk's kind of, you know, made it clear that his one remaining goal is to headline WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. And that is what the rumor is, that was what the final straw was for him.
And he just, you know, I love Punk, personal bias, he would, you know, headline every WrestleMania ever and every Raw and blah, blah, blah. But he's not going to headline WrestleMania 30.
No.
There's too much stuff going on. There's too much everything.
Because it is a big decade anniversary.
Right.
You know, 31, he might have had a better chance. 30 is just, you feel like there's just no way.
And, I don't know, Punk, you get the impression Punk believes he should be the number one guy.
Mm.
And that's not entirely unjustified.
No, no, no.
I'm not sure Punk ever will be the number one guy. Mm. Because of what his age is and what John Cena's age is. And they're gonna kind of go out at the same time.
Right.
I do not know if Punk will ever be the number one guy.
Right.
And, you know, maybe that's just
kind of like the harsh reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's accepting that. And, you know, the crowd has latched onto Daniel Bryan, and I love it, and I'm yay Bryan with everybody else.
But that also kind of meant that
in
the fan reaction, he's kind of leapfrogged.
Right.
Yeah.
That's just another thing above Punk, and Batista comes back, and that's just another guy who automatically jumps over Punk. And, you know, it's just, I don't know, it's, if that's the case, it's hard to disagree with the guy.
Yeah.
It's hard to say, you know, to grumble about it. Like, I'm upset.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. If that's the case, if Punk is gone, no, I'm wildly upset about that.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
And this isn't good news for WWE.
No.
Like, it's just not. And
because that's one less guy that fans genuinely enjoyed.
Right. And here's the thing. You know Punk loves being a heel.
Yeah.
And I think there was some consolation, especially, like, Raw 1000 onward, where, no, Punk will never be the top guy, but he can be the top heel.
Oh, yeah.
He can be the top heel of the company.
Easily.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, he could...
CM Punk dumped the ashes of a two-week-old dead man on Undertaker.
Yeah.
The living legend Undertaker, and the crowd cheered.
Yeah.
I don't think CM Punk can ever be a heel again.
Fair enough, yeah.
I just don't think he can. And
if he wasn't able to do with that, you know, you don't know what he would have to do to get some sort of booze, yeah.
I don't think he can. And, you know, and I think that's part of the harsh reality is he can never be that top heel. Like, they just, he can't do it.
Yeah.
And he won't be the top face in the company the way the company is today.
Right.
And, you know, and that the pipe bomb has kind of been, like, going through my head as I've been reading this, and there's that thing where he's like, when I'm gone, you're going to keep watching this product, and I'm a spoke on the wheel, and the wheel will keep turning thing. And I don't know, that rings more true today than it did when the pipe bomb was dropped.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe that's because it really feels like Punk might be gone.
Because we realized, like, last year, just exactly how it kept going whenever he took time off.
Right.
You know, how it felt like, you felt like something was missing on this past Raw, and then a lot of people really didn't hit him until, like, we got towards the last segment. We're like, oh, we haven't seen CM Punk tonight. That's weird. You know?
And, you know, and some of it is like, because what else are you going to watch? Not WWE?
Right. Like, you know, you have the people who are like, oh, you can watch TNA. Yeah, we could.
You could, but that's no fun.
No, it's not.
And yes, I get there's lots of wrestling guys. There's amazing independent talent.
Right.
And not to knock any of that, but it doesn't get beamed into my TV, you know.
On a weekly basis. Right. Yeah.
It's just, it's more effort to watch. And, you know, as somebody who genuinely loves wrestling, and, you know, I, of course, am the sort of guy who would absolutely go out and search out. I hear about a good match, a good wrestler. I'm thrilled to search out that. I'm thrilled to look at some independent stuff.
Totally.
But the bulk of the audience, what else are you going to watch?
Yeah.
You're going to watch WWE no matter who they put up.
Yeah.
And that's a problem.
Mm.
But I don't know if that's... Here's the thing right now. WWE has more eyes on them right now than they have in a long time because of the network.
Yeah.
And in the past 3 days, they got booed out of one of their biggest pay-per-views with possibly their biggest match of the year.
Yeah.
Just unresounding boos.
Yeah.
They lost one of their biggest stars. You know? There is clear disinterest in the guy who's supposed to be a big deal. Just there's not interest in Batista at this point.
No.
There's, you know, it feels like they're fumbling with the eyes of the world. And, like, I gotta go back to, like, imagine on the heels of WrestleMania 1, or just right at the beginning, leading into WrestleMania 1, and not Hogan, because Hogan's the Cena equivalent, but, like, Roddy Piper or Ricky Steamboat is out.
Yeah.
You know, that level star, no, I'm done, I'm burnt out, I'm gone. Right as they are putting every, you know, every egg into that WrestleMania 1 basket, I feel like blank checks would be written.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so, like, and I feel like that's what's happening with Punk. And just, like, I don't know, part of the appeal of the network is I'm going to be getting these pay-per-views, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Especially as somebody who might be a more casual fan, who might be a doesn't-watch-the-pay-per-views unless they really want it fan.
Right.
But who loves Punk, which I think is a hefty majority of people.
Yeah.
That's a big appeal, is you do get to see Punk on the pay-per-view every week.
Right.
I'm really wondering if this is something that's going to
affect that.
Yeah, and just because it's like a big appeal, that is kind of a little bit of the impulse buy.
Yeah.
The impulse, the hype, the yeah, you gotta get it buy. Mm. And I think that might be, that's nowhere near where it was the day they announced it.
Mm.
The, just the Daniel Bryan stuff and the Punk stuff.
Right.
So I don't know. It's, I just feel like it's bad, bad, bad for the WWE, and they need to fix things fast.
Yeah. Something needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Either cooler heads need to prevail with whatever went down between Punk and the higher-ups at WWE, or, you know, we need to progress this storyline along to where, you know, they're not losing people.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to be losing that many people. I think people are still going to watch regardless.
People will watch regardless.
Right.
But I don't know if people will put down money regardless.
And that's...
And right now, with all the resources that they're putting into the WWE network,
this is incredibly bad timing.
This is the time for people to be putting down money regardless.
Yeah. This could not have happened at a worse time.
Yes.
For WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Just from a saving face, you know, perspective.
Exactly.
On top of, you know, getting that bad reaction at the Rumble.
Also worth pointing out, I think it's March 3rd, but it's definitely, it's the first Monday of March, Raw's going to be in Chicago.
Yeah.
If Punk is not there...
Yeah, and if Punk is not there, and there is not a We Want Punk chant going on the entire night, I will be surprised.
Yeah.
Absolutely surprised. Like, I'll be surprised if this is not revealed by Monday, I will assume we will get a We Want Punk chant, a pretty hefty one, Monday night.
Yeah.
And for a while. It's going to take fans a while to forget that. Forget it, so.
Yes.
And you know...
And here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Punk is not as young as he once was.
Right.
But Punk could do about anything in the world of wrestling. There's clearly not anything, because that's part of the problem. But he could do just about anything he wants. He could walk into any other company.
Oh, yeah.
And be a star.
But I don't think he wants to be honest with you.
No, I think what he wants is to headline WrestleMania.
Right. He wants to do that, and really, that's it.
And here's the thing. He might just, you know what, it's not worth it to do this Road to WrestleMania stuff, and he'll come back the 2 weeks before WrestleMania and do a WrestleMania moment. Or, here's the thing, and it's a year away, and I don't want to wait that year because I'm a bitter, I want Punk every day,
every week,
little heart. But I want you to imagine Daniel Bryan winning the Elimination Chamber in 2015.
Okay.
Walking out, doing the yes, the crowd is still Daniel Bryan happy like they are today. The whole crowd yeses. Everything like that. And that's when CM Punk walks out on stage. And just in a very straight, cordial thing, this is great for you, Daniel Bryan, as your friend, as your admirer. I'm very happy for you, but it's time that I'm champion again.
Right.
And that's Daniel Bryan and CM Punk headlining WrestleMania 31.
Right.
Almost worth it.
Almost.
Almost. Like, not quite. No, I still want to say it, but almost worth it.
Yeah. And, there is that possibility where this is just WWE and CM Punk giving each other time off.
Yes.
Away from each other. Which, that might be the best thing for him.
That might be. Like, and honestly,
CM, to be honest with you, he could come back at any point.
That's the thing. If CM Punk needs to go on walkabout for a while, I really feel like that door is always open, being propped open by the potential money that a CM Punk return will always have from this point on.
Right, yeah.
So.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah. I mean, regardless of whatever happens, I don't think we've seen the last of CM Punk in WWE.
I don't ever think we've seen the last of CM Punk
in WWE. Right. And it's just one of those things where bad timing because of the network, bad timing because he's 6 months away from his contract being up, so it wouldn't be that difficult to just, scrap it or shelve it for the rest of this time.
Exactly.
It's not quite a Sin Cara, contract that's easily, kind of discarded.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's not too much unlike an NFL player contract or a coach contract, which can be seemingly terminated for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So, it's bad timing. We don't know, and again, we don't know what's real, what's not. We don't even know what's the nature of whatever happened. We don't know if, he left because, he was unhappy with the state of things on top of being written off of Raw this past week, or, he left and therefore that's why they wrote him off.
Right, and again, all of these questions could be answered by the time you're listening to this.
Very, very true.
Which is why it's, it's important to point out at the top of the show when we were recording this.
Yeah.
And it's a thing where, mostly just want to know, and I don't like sitting here not knowing.
Yeah.
Because, if CM Punk goes, I will follow CM Punk wherever he goes. If CM Punk shows up in TNA, brand new loyal TNA viewer every week.
Yeah. That would probably be what got me
going.
I
mean, if CM Punk announced an art gallery that he was opening, brand new fan of art, here we go.
Sign me up for a pretty decent-sized oil painting.
Yes.
Yes. I'm assuming he would be an oil painter.
Of course.
He'd
be a tattoo artist, are you kidding me?
He would be a spray artist, probably, yeah. Likely, to be honest with you, all likelihood, I could see him doing something regular on YouTube with Nerdist for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe make Grammar Slam a usual thing, or just come up with something new.
Yeah.
Chris Hardwick's friends with all these other wrestlers.
Well,
might as well.
I mean, that just brought up, I hadn't thought about this before. But CM Punk is scheduled for, February 12th?
Yeah.
On At Midnight?
That's right, I forgot. With him?
With The Miz.
Yep.
And theoretically, as a promotion for, this is now when you watch wrestling, because it's WrestleMania season.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know how that affects it. Yeah.
I don't know if this affects that, or I don't know if, we just found the secret code that this is a work.
Well, I mean, we found that out, a couple weeks ago.
I know, but
we don't know if it's still scheduled.
Right. So, I don't know. And that's the thing. All this, I don't know.
Actually, I kind of can't wait for us to end this podcast so I can go check.
Check and see if he's still scheduled?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we'll find out. And on all honesty, we'll probably have found out more information by the time you're listening to this. But for now, this is all we know.
Yeah, right now it's just a lot of speculation. A lot of people pointing to certain things on Twitter and be like, oh yeah, well, this is happening, so that means this thing or something else. Like, oh, WWE released a new CM Punk hat this morning, so that means he's still with the company, right? And, I mean, that people are looking for signs in anywhere.
Right, right.
So, him being scheduled on at midnight with a WWE wrestler at this point is not really that indicative of anything.
No, it's not. But here's what's really worth noting in all this.
Yeah.
When he was first announced that his contract was up, like, before the pipe bomb,
mm-hmm.
when it was first announced that his contract was up, and that he was planning to not re-sign, I wrote an article that never ended up getting published because of the pipe bomb that usurped everything, but I wrote an article and kind of like a thank you, CM Punk, for all you've done.
Right.
You know, here's what you meant, and I'm sorry that you never got that chance and stuff. And I felt like I was the only one in the world who was truly bereaved that CM Punk, like, was gone. Like, you know, there was this ho-hum, but, like, I felt like I was kind of alone on that platform.
And
I feel like the world stands behind me this time.
Yeah. No, I remember back then I became a big CM Punk fan through the Straight Edge Society thing. Like, it just was so entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then he just completely won me over with, you know, the commentary thing.
Yeah.
And I remember at Nexus, whenever they just didn't really pursue him versus Cena, I was mad because I was like, we haven't really seen that. I'm ready to see that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, yeah, I was definitely a fan, and I think I had posted an article, I want to say about 3 months before that, because then people were kind of talking that his contract was up. So at that point, I made this big article where I was like, WWE, you guys would be idiots if you guys let this guy slip through. Like, slip through your fingers, because he's arguably the best heel you've got.
Mm-hmm.
And he was
the time.
Oh, yeah.
Straight Edge Society still might be one of the best factions, and the most, like, I can't believe they bungled that.
Yeah.
As far as most underappreciated things that have happened.
Well, they fizzled out, we should say.
They didn't fizzle out.
They didn't bungle it, because they were very good for a while.
Right.
It's the way it ended, and it was just so abruptly, without any fanfare at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was disappointing. This time around, we got a lot more people on board with it.
You know? Ready to light our torches.
Yes.
So.
But, you know, more is to come, and, you know, whenever we hear something, I'm sure we'll mention something on Twitter.
Absolutely.
You guys will probably hear it around the same time we will.
Exactly.
You know? We all have the same access to the same internet.
Everybody has the same sources.
Yeah.
All right. But moving on, we do want to mention that new Hall of Fame inductee was announced.
Yes.
Jake the Snake Roberts.
Yep.
Now
I kind of understand why he wasn't at the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they're like, let's keep you, I don't want to say hidden, but kind of, you know, we don't want to, you know, get fans all excited about that, and then, you know, have this on top of it, and then they'll just be a little bit too much. Let's just focus on Hall of Fame. So I get that, yeah.
And well done, deserved. I feel like, you know, all that for him.
It's a very good redemption story.
Yes.
Like, just, yeah, it's just, you're just knowing where what he went through, where mm-hmm. he's been, you know, and how, not a year later, that he really started getting back on the right track with the whole DDP yoga thing.
Right.
It's just really not good to see a success story like that. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it sticks, you know, because it seems like this day and age, you'll hear about a success story and it goes really well, and then, you know, somebody goes off the tracks.
Right.
You know? Like, I'm reminded of the whole Josh Hamilton story a couple years ago, the baseball player. He was, you know, number one draft pick a long time ago, and then he had his battles with addictions, and he, you know, and then he got clean, and all of a sudden he got really good, and he played for the Rangers or whatever, and then just fell off the wagon.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And he was still good, but he didn't have that same feeling to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's with the Angels, and no one really cares. So, yeah, I'm just super, super happy for him, super happy that he's made all these improvements in his life, and I hope that it sticks.
Yeah, absolutely, and, you know, and of course he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Right,
He was an inevitable pick at some point. Now's a good time as any, I feel like, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good for him.
Yeah.
All right.
That's right, it's time for the mail sack. Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, let's all go inside. Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, it's your mail sack. All right. So we start off with Martin Shaw, who, you know, upon hearing the CM Punk news, he responded with, "I hear they're replacing Punk with RoboCop." Shaw, you got a real, like, obsession with this RoboCop guy.
I feel like, you know, or how
Cyborg.
You know how we want to never let the world forget that the Shockmaster happened?
Yes.
I feel like Martin really wants to never let the world forget that RoboCop is technically in canon.
Yes.
In wrestling.
Yes.
So, yes, we agree.
Sure.
RoboCop is still happened that
Punk,
one time.
Punk is a pretty irreplaceable guy, so it kind of makes sense that you try to replace him with a cyborg.
Sure.
You know, because a regular human just won't do. This comes from the newly named Hump Douglas. Mm-hmm. It's a long story. He asked that I read this verbatim, so bear with me. "In the last couple weeks, since you were unable to answer my irrigation-related property inquiry, bleak winter and record snowfalls have descended like a shroud over your country, and Santa's meager gifts would be your only distraction from the hovering darkness. Unfortunately, at this time of year, Santa is nothing more than a vagabond, bent by age, bereft of companionship. His cane represents the Christmas season's empty frivolity. Each gift a frivolity. I'm sorry. Each gift a grim foreboding of the final box in which we will all be wrapped. A gift only to the worms. Sadly, this pine stick is his only friend, severed from its roots, slowly desiccating."
Sure.
"Forever a burden like children." Wow. "Without him, truly you have no hope to live, for as the cold brings the wolf of oblivion to lick at your lips. But Santa is 11 months away, and hope is a deadly poison, like mistletoe berries." And he ends it with, "So, that said, the Punk thing, real or not real?"
To which I say, Blair, listen to the podcast. We just talked for like 30 minutes about Punk.
Right?
Where have you been?
Exactly. Yeah, wow. I've got nothing more to add to that. You know, usually I'm all for, you know, like these erroneous rants. That was a bit much. Even I have to say, Hump Douglas.
Hump Douglas.
Tone it down.
We just talked about Punk for 30 minutes. Where have you been?
This comes from Neil. Actually, hot off the presses, this comes from Neil. "Will WWE headquarters be burned to the ground if Daniel Bryan doesn't take the WWE belt at the main event at WrestleMania?" I think there's more of a chance the headquarters will be burned if they let CM Punk go. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but there's more of a chance it'll happen.
I think, okay, here's, and this will be eternal optimism shining through, but I think there is still plenty of time to build up a story between Daniel Bryan and Triple H that will be main event and show ending worthy, that doesn't have to involve the title.
Right.
I think as I feel about the title right now, I don't care if the title is defended in the middle of WrestleMania.
No, me neither, yeah.
And I think it is very easy.
There's certain cases where that's, you know, completely acceptable.
And I think they can build up a feud very easily. They still have plenty of time to do it, and build up a Daniel Bryan central feud that will be the most important thing at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not too late to salvage WrestleMania. So don't do it.
No. Yeah. Fair enough.
Or do it, I guess. Do salvage WrestleMania.
Sure.
Don't mess it up. That's
that's the message, yes. Right there. This comes from our good friend Sideshow Bob. "Batista is back to kick everyone's ass, supposedly. Lesnar challenges him and Orton. Triple H protects both from Lesnar. What other face has ever puss-bagged out on a champion, or on a challenge like that? It's a total heel D-bag move. Then add in his rejection from the fans. This leads me to think he will be full-on, on-purpose heel by WrestleMania." What are your thoughts? I don't see how they get around it at this point.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Honestly, like, and this might be reading more into, like, the actual person Batista versus right. the character.
Mm.
But I'm just curious if he, like, kind of got his feelings hurt.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's been gone for this, 4 years.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to how I kind of thought was Rock's reaction after WrestleMania 29. You know, like, that next morning, he's already gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had to rewrite Raw because he wasn't there.
Go back to Hollywood where everybody loved him.
Right. And, you know, we don't know if that's actually the case or not, but, you know, it did feel that way, so I wouldn't be surprised if Batista feels kind of slighted in that same way. Like, the fans just... It was just bad timing for
honestly,
him.
Honestly, that's the thing. It was bad timing for him.
Yeah.
And I do really think it's so tempting for when Batista has to go on Jay Leno to advertise for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And, oh, what is this giant belt-looking thing I happen to have on my shoulder?
Yeah.
Oh, that's watch Monday Night Raw every night at 8. Or every Monday at 8.
Right.
You know, so I still think that's really tempting. And so, and you know what? Honestly, there is time, depending on how genuinely frequent Batista is going to be on the show.
Yeah.
There's plenty of time to be heel Batista now and face Batista later.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't know. But it might be easier. Just go ahead and come around and make him a heel.
Right now. Absolutely.
At this moment.
There's time for people kind of get on board with him later. Especially, like you said, if he sticks around for a bit. It's just right now he's not far removed from Royal Rumble and the whole Daniel Bryan thing right now.
He's too much.
He's still way too
personal embodiment representation of things that the fans don't want.
And now, you know, according to rumors, he's also going to be linked to what finally broke
CM Punk.
You know, the final straw for CM Punk, yeah.
Yeah. And so that's the thing. It's like, it's not necessarily that the fans don't want Batista.
Yeah.
But it's that Batista is not what they do want.
Right,
and
yeah.
So he's falling into what they don't want camp.
Really, right at this point, Batista is merely a scapegoat for fans. He is just he is the thing to be mad at because there's no actual physical thing right now to be mad at.
And it's easy to point to. Batista returned and everything went to hell.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's an easy thing to point to.
It's just, again, it was really bad timing, and sometimes that is enough to kill everything.
Mm-hmm.
Or kill things for a certain person.
Or kill a plan. And again, you know what? If they can come around to it, Batista heel might be a perfectly fine thing.
And it just might be the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Fine. So, yeah.
I mean, that's another, like, time will tell thing, I guess. But yeah.
True.
But
yeah.
I definitely think that that might be the best course of action.
Yeah.
For that next upcoming little bit of time.
This does feel like the darkest timeline.
Doesn't it?
Like, I'm thinking back on everything we talked about on the podcast, and it was like, this is kind of a downer week.
I'm glad Jake got in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Like, that's literally what I'm excited about, is Jake the Snake Roberts is in the Hall of Fame.
And let's go on another high note, because I believe it was just announced for Elimination Chamber, Wyatt's versus Shield.
Wyatt's versus Shield is finally happening.
So we have that, and mm-hmm. that's something we've wanted to see way back in Survivor Series.
Yes. Yeah. So at least they didn't wait Hogan versus Ric Flair levels of time before finally giving us the match we're supposed to get.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's your positive note. I know it's not huge, but it's something. And right now, you got to grab onto whatever you can.
We're on a sinking ship, and all we can grab on is the Fruit Loops. Just tiny little things to grab onto to not drown.
Yes.
Oh, man. Okay. So, I guess, follow us on Twitter if you still like wrestling.
And even if you don't, you know, if you're one of those people that are just, you know, this whole CM Punk thing ends up being true and he's gone, and you just decide that you don't want to watch wrestling, but you still kind of want to know what's going on, the perfect way to do that.
Follow us on Twitter, at CR Attire. We live tweet every Mondays, even the ones where it's the worst.
Because we're gluttons for it.
Exactly.
It happens.
And the appropriate Sundays as well.
That too. If you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up here on the show, we'll talk about it on the mail sack. Send all that to our email, that's classroomringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes, so please look us up on iTunes. Give us a subscription. Subscribe there. It'd be great for you. Give us a rating of
5 stars, huh?
Or, you know, maybe write a review, or do both. It would help us out, make you feel good.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you are listening to this on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there, check out all the other articles, the other columns. It's WrestleMania season, so, you know, there's a lot of new stuff that gets cycled through. And it's a really good way to kind of get the latest on what's going on, especially with the CM Punk thing.
Right, right.
That's basically what I've been refreshing a lot on today was Inside Pulse.
Mm-hmm. All right, until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.